back.
Church, say amen. Amen. It is indeed a great honor and privilege to be able to come and be with you saints on today. We thank God for allowing me to be here. We appreciate your great minister and the brethren here for accepting me to come and say something to you from the Word of God. Brother Milton, you asked me if I could sing. I only dabble a little bit. See, my minister, Brother Elijah Bush, sing, I'm sure all you know now. He sings, and so I don't try to get into that realm. I try to preach some, but I don't try to keep up with him in that area. But God has blessed me to have a desire to preach his word, and I thank him for that. And I hope and pray this morning that we have something from God's word that would encourage us as we go on our way in this life that we have given here on earth. Our topic this morning comes from John chapter 14. The brothers read the scripture, verses 1 through 7. And for the sake of a topic, I looked at verse number 2. And we read to you verses 1 and 2. Jesus, as he comforts his disciples, as he is on his pathway back home to glory, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." For topic's sake this morning, we want to talk about in my Father's house. Father, the root word is pater. The word means and signifies a nourisher and a protector and upholder. In this chapter, Jesus has set his attention toward comforting his disciples because he has begun to encourage them and to let them know that he's on his way back home to glory and that he's going to leave them here on this world, in this earth. And to them, it was going to be a sad situation, but he wanted them to be encouraged. And he wanted them to know even that they would not be alone, but while he was gone, he was going to be doing something on their behalf. And he said, "I'm my Father's house. There are many mansions, and I'm going away. And while I'm gone, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that you may come and be where I am also." So he turns his attention to comforting his disciples. And you know, that same scripture comforts me too, and it should comfort you. Even though Jesus is not here with us in the flesh, he is still with us. But we also need to be comforted and encouraged to know that Jesus is up in heaven. The Bible says he's on the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for you and for I. And also Jesus wanted them to know that while I'm gone, I'm going to prepare so that you could come and be where I am in my Father's house. He announced his betrayal. He announced and foretells Peter's denial. This 14th chapter is designed to keep trouble away from their hearts, even though trouble will be in their lives. And church, we need to understand that the Bible teaches us, Jesus said himself, that he was going to send his disciples out among the wolves. He said, "But I want you to be harmless as a dove, but I want you to be wise as a serpent." So there will be trouble. And the Bible also says that he said, "Yea, all who shall live godly will suffer some persecution." But this is trouble in our lives, but Jesus is trying to keep trouble away from our hearts, as he does his disciples here. He encouraged them to call and to lean upon their faith in God and in him. That was his first statement. He said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me." And that's what we need to rely on today, is our faith in God, to realize that God is ever watching over us. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord, they're over the righteous, and his ears, they're open unto their cry. So we need to realize and to draw upon that faith in God and in Jesus. You know, when life takes one of those turns on us, and it does from time to time, and it leaves us in distress, it leaves us lonely and leaves us without hope, we need something to draw upon to help us, to keep us going. We need a healthy faith in God and in Christ. And when I say a healthy faith, I mean a faith that is strong, a faith that is able and unwavering to hold on no matter what the situation may be. I try to tell people all the time, you know, we're going to always find ourselves in one situation or another. If it ain't this, it's going to be that. If it ain't that, it's going to be the other. But realize that God is always there, and God is able to deliver us from whatever the situation may be. Situations don't change God. God changes situations. And we need to realize when we find ourselves in a situation that may not be so nice or not savory to us, realize the situation don't have to last. If we just call upon our faith in God, God can change the situation. And if he don't even change the situation, he can help you endure through the situation. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, gives us a definition of faith. The Bible says there that faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance means it is something. It's something there. Faith is not no myth. It is not no intangible thing. Faith is something that we can hold on to. And the Bible says it is the substance of things hoped for. And then it goes on to say it is evidence. I mean, there's proof. Faith gives us proof that there is something there. It's the evidence of things not seen. Well, how does faith work if I can't see it? Faith reveals to our mind and to our spirit what our eyes can't even see yet. Our faith lets us know that something is there and that something is going to happen, even though it has not been materialized or even though it has not happened yet. Our faith encourages us and helps us to know and to understand that it is going to come to pass. Our spirit and our souls are confident that it is so. When Jesus said that I am going to go away and I'm going to come back for you, the disciples' faith should have been so that they're just waiting for that day until he get back, because they already know it's got to happen. Because he said it was going to happen. Just like the Bible says that it is impossible for God to lie, it's impossible for Jesus to lie. Because if Jesus said it, it's just like God said it. Look what he says to them in verse number 7. He said, if you had known me, you would have known the Father. And from now on, you know him because you have seen me. So if you've seen Jesus, he's telling them, if you've seen me, you've seen God. And if you know me, you know God. So if God says, I can't lie, Jesus can't lie either. Amen. And faith allows us to move on, even though our minds, even though our eyes may tell us, you can't go. It was faith that told Abraham to follow God's commandment no matter what it seems like. See, a lot of times we look at things and we say, it don't seem like that we can do it. Even in your Sunday school quarterly, for this past quarter, the Bible teaches us that when God had told the children of Israel that he was going to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, he didn't say you might have it. He didn't say we'll see what we can do about it. He told Moses to send a man out from each one of the 12 tribes. and tell them to go spy out the land which I give unto you. In other words, he said, I've already given it to you. You just got to go get it. And see, what a lot of us don't realize today, salvation and victory is ours. We just have to go get it. You know, all we have to do is reach out, and it's there. But we have to have enough faith to reach out if we want to reach eternity with God. Abraham, in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. I want the brothers to get there and wait for me for a minute, because I want to show you how faith works. We realize and understand the story, how God came to Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, and I want you to go into the mountain, and I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice unto me. Abraham didn't question God. He didn't start saying, Lord, this is my only son. Lord, I know I can't have another son. Why would you like to take my life instead? Abraham didn't do no such thing. Abraham just got up. He prepared the donkey and got the wood and got his son and a couple of servants, and he lit out to do what God had told him to do. Wouldn't it be great if we did what God told us to do without questioning? When God tells us that upon the first day of the week, they don't like when I do this at Avondale. Upon the first day of the week, God said, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together, as the man of Psalm is. Upon the first day of the week, we ought to do just like Abraham. We ought to prepare for the first day of the week. We prepare for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We prepare to go to work. Why can't we prepare to come to worship? But Abraham, he showed his faith in God. He prepared and took his journey. And when he got to the place where he could see the mount afar off, Abraham told his servant, he said, y'all wait here with the donkey while me and the boy go off and we're going to worship. And he took the wood and he put it on Isaac and got the knife and the fire, and they headed up the mountain. Now, Isaac, being a lad, he probably didn't understand what was going on. And the Bible says Isaac asked his father, he said, Father, I see the wood. Father, I see the fire. He said, but I don't see no sacrificial lamb. And Abraham said, son, the Lord gonna provide a lamb for his worship. That's showing faith. He gonna do what God say do, because he know God will provide. And as he gets there, you know the story, and he put the wood on the altar. But what I want you to see is the faith of Abraham. I want whoever has it to go back now to the 22nd verse, 22nd chapter, and then I want you to look at verse number 5. Abraham has not seen nothing. And the Bible says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Abraham has not seen no sacrificial lamb. As far as he knew, Isaac was going to be the sacrifice. So Abraham, even though no doubt in the back of his mind, his faith was telling him, God will prevail. God will provide. And what made me believe that is verse number 5. Who has that? Read it, please.
And Abraham said unto his son, young, to the young men, abide ye here with ass.
Now, as I said, he when he got where he could see the mountain, he told the young men, you stay here with the donkey. Me and the boy are going off, and we're going to worship God. But before he left, he told the young men, you stay here. The lad and I, we going yonder to worship. And watch what he said.
and come again to you.
And he said, but we're coming back. He didn't say, I'm coming back. He said, we coming back. The only we two that were leaving was Abraham and Isaac.
That's right.
Abraham had so much faith in God. He said, we're going to go, the lad and I, we're going to worship. But you know what? We coming back. He had faith in God, that God was going to take care of that situation.
Amen.
So the Bible says they went on up on the mountain, and when they got there, he still saw nothing. But he still continued to follow the pathways of God's word. He took the wood and he laid it up on the altar. And he bind up his son to lay him on the altar. And the Bible said he even took the knife in his hand to slay his son. He had even raised his hand. But God sent a message to him saying, Abraham, stay your hand. Do no harm to the son. And as he did that, Abraham stopped and he looked behind him, and behold, there was a sacrificial lamb. There was a ram in the bush who had got his antlers caught, and he was there just waiting for Abraham to use as a sacrifice. And that's what faith will do for us. If we'll just be faithful to God's word and do what God tells us to do, the way God tells us to do it, it is all going to work out on our behalf. I love the scripture that Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 6, and I think it's the 28th verse. He said, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose. See, when you know that whatever it is, if you're following God, whatever it is, it's going to work out on your behalf. It's going to be rough sometime, but it's still going to work out on your behalf. And if we have that faith that Abraham had and have the faith that Paul had when he wrote that verse, because Paul didn't say, I think or I feel like. Paul said, we know. That's what faith will do for you. Faith will let you know that God is going to take care of the situation. But Abraham is considered and called the father of faith. And we need to take his example in following God. In the midst of trials and troubles in life, we should never forget that the Lord will make a way. It does not matter what the situation may be. It could be trouble at your house. It could be trouble on your job. It could be trouble at your school. There could be problems in your neighborhood. There could be problems with your bank account. There could be problems in your body. It doesn't matter what it may be. God's grace is sufficient. Paul, in the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul recants how that God had given him a special permission that Paul was able to be taken up into the third heavens. But Paul said, you know, lest I be lifted up too high, God allowed a messenger from Satan to come to me. And he left a thorn in my side. And Paul said, I asked the Lord three times if you'll just take this thorn out of my side. Three times he asked the Lord, but the Lord never obeyed Paul's request. But what the Lord did tell Paul was, my grace is sufficient. If we are suffering in any way, remember, God's grace is sufficient. When we are in God's grace, his strength make us perfect in our weakness. And when we are weak, we're strong because of God's grace. What is God's grace? God's grace is his unmerited favor. We may not deserve it, but he give it to us anyway. And his grace helps us when we can't help ourselves. It gives us power when we are weak. It gives us the ability to go on when everybody else tells us we need to stop. That's what God's grace is all about. And if you're in God's family, If you're in the Father's house, that grace is available unto you. And Jesus goes on in John chapter 14 to tell his apostles about his Father's house. He wanted them to know that in his Father's house, there was joy in his Father's house. He mentioned that there's room for everybody in his Father's house. You know, when you look at the world today, there are hundreds and hundreds of religious organizations. But see, we need to understand that we're talking about God here. You know, I can't build a house big enough for everybody. Brother Milton may not can build a house that's big enough for everybody, but God can build a place big enough for everybody. God's house is big enough for the whole world. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. There's room for you too in my Father's house. And to all of those who are obedient to the gospel, he is the heir to God's house. He is God's child, or she is God's child. And the Father is going to make room for all of his children. The Father's through and by Jesus has made it available for all of us to make it to his home in glory. But to make it to his home in glory, we must make it to his house right here on earth. The next scripture I want is Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Jesus made it possible that you and I, we have received not a spirit of bondage, but we have received the spirit, he said, of adoption.
Yes.
You all know what adoption means. That someone takes a child in as their own.
Amen.
May not have started out as their own, but once they are adopted, they're all theirs.
That's it.
And when we obey the gospel of Christ, and when God adds us to his family, we're all his.
Amen.
We're part of his family now. And we matriculate now in our Father's house. And in our Father's house, Jesus said, there's a mansion for you and for me.
Yes, sir.
All of God's children have a place with him in heaven. Christ himself has prepared a mansion for each and every one of us, for we are joint heirs with him in his Father's house. In his Father's house, there's peace. In his Father's house, there's no eating and drinking, but by righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, we share our reign there. Romans chapter 14, verses 17. And Jesus also stated that the peace that comes from him is not as the peace that is in this world. John chapter 14 and verse number 27, where Jesus also told him, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
That's right.
See, the world gives us trouble, and the world sometimes causes us to fear. But Jesus is telling us we don't have to be troubled, and we don't have to be afraid. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7 said that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And we look to God for that peace. We look to God for everything that we need. And when we go to our Father's house, we don't have to worry about the things that happens here on earth. You know, on earth, you know, our homes, they get old. Roofs start leaking. Foundations start cracking. Frames start shifting. That's in our houses made of mortar, brick, and wood. But you know what? in this earthly house called our body. You know, sometimes it leaks too. Sometimes it begins to shift. Sometimes the foundations of it begins to crack. But in my Father's house, we don't have to worry about that, because there's everlasting and eternity in our Father's house. We look to God for all that we need, because he is our Father. And as I stated, the word Father means one that nourishes. God, he nourishes his children. Even the children of Israel, God nourished them by raining down manna from heaven, according to Exodus chapter 16. And they did eat that bread and that manna for 40 years. But God also sent manna for our souls from heaven. Jesus himself is that manna. John chapter 6 and verse number 51, the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if anyone eat of this bread, he will live forever. And if the bread that I shall give, he says, the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the entire world. God still nourishes his children. He nourishes us with the word of God that nourishes our souls and that will save our souls if we just be obedient to it. Just like our body needs bread, our soul needs the word of God. Jesus stated that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Our Father, in our Father's house, there's protection. Psalms 142 and verse 5 says, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge. You are my portion in the land of the living. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. If we keep God's commandments, we have obeyed the gospel, then this protection is ours. And finally, in our Father's house, like I said earlier, there's eternal salvation in my Father's house. God sent salvation by his Son, Jesus Christ. And his Son gave his life-giving blood for the church of Christ. God gives us eternity through the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. God is our Father, and our Father, he's infinite. And if we are his children, when he gives us our mansion, our robe, and our crown, they will be infinite also. Heaven is eternal, and our new home will be eternal also. And once we get to our new home in heaven, in our Father's house, can't nobody put us out. You know, you don't pay your mortgage, you can get evicted. They can force you out of your earthly home, but can't nobody force you out of God's home. The Bible said, Jesus said about his disciples, he said, these are mine because you gave them to me. And he said, nobody can take them out of your hand. When God gives us something, nobody can take it away from them. What's ours is ours when God gives it to us. And nobody can do anything about it. Our home of God is eternal. The roof of houses here leak, but the houses in heaven will not leak. Our home is eternal. Paul said one time that we look for another home that's not made with hands. And it is eternal in the heaven. All of this is in my Father's house. Jesus wanted his disciples to know that if they would just stay within the gospel, if they would keep the commands and the examples that he gave them, they would have a right and a part in our Father's house. Paul said, for we know that if our earthly house. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, we know. And like I said, Paul had faith. That's why a lot of times Paul write, he said, I know. Or we know. He is secure in what God says. And he's secure in the promises of God. You know, we can have that same security if we would just be obedient unto the word of God. Not the word of men, but the word of God. Paul said, for we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hand. It is eternal in the heavens. That means that we don't have to worry about moving no more. There's a song that sometime Artina Bush sings, and I know you've heard it on the radio. It says that there's a leak in this old building, and I know I got to move. We've got to move one day from here to go somewhere. But thank God, if we go to our Father's house, we don't have to worry about moving no more. Because that building there, Paul said, is eternal in the heaven. And the writer also said, we don't know what we or it will look like. But we know that when we do appear there, we'll appear just as he is. And if God is eternity, we will be eternal as well. We don't have to worry about moving no more. No more foreclosures. No more evictions. Our mansions prepared for us by Jesus will not be destroyed, but it will be eternal in the heavens. And should there be somebody here who are not a member of the body of Christ, you need to understand that in my Father's house, just like in most men houses, he has rules and regulations. He has statutes that we must obey. And God's word is the only statute he wants us to obey. Jesus said to some people one time, he said, don't call me Lord, Lord, if you don't do what I tell you to do. And when Jesus had told his disciples in Matthew chapter 16 that upon this rock I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it, the Bible says just a few days later in Matthew chapter 17, Peter, James, and John was allowed to witness something spectacular. They were allowed to witness the appearing of Jesus there with Moses and Elias. And during that witnessing, as I said, it was so spectacular that Peter got beside himself. And he said, Lord, if it be your will. I have to give Peter credit. He did ask God, Jesus, if it was permissible with him. See, I wonder how many people that started all of these other religious organizations asked God if it was permissible to do so. But Peter said, Lord, if it's your will, let us build here three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And the Bible declares that while he yet spake, a cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from that cloud said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. You know, if all of these other leaders of these other religious orders had asked God that question, if it's permissible, let us build here another church, I wonder what answer they would have gotten. But I don't believe they asked. I think they just did what they felt like the people wanted, or what they felt like was suitable toward them. But God didn't tell us that everything was going to be suitable for us, but he did tell us that if we are faithful unto death, we'll receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. And if you're here and you're not a member of the body of Christ, and you, that means you're not in the Father's house. But if you want to become a member of the body of Christ, which puts you in our Father's house, you must come by hearing the word of God, which will establish your faith. Because the Bible says in Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I don't know where you heard or where you got it from, but did you get it from the word of God? That's what the Bible says our faith needs to come from. Faith, what you should believe in, should come by hearing, and hearing by God's word, not by man's philosophies or the trends of society, but by the word of God. If we listen to the trends of society, do you not know that mankind would cease to exist? Y'all looking strange at me. Look at the trends of society. And I don't mean no ill will to nobody, but I'm just giving you the facts of the word of God. The Bible says that when God made Adam, he said it wasn't good for man to be alone. So he made him a helpmeet. And he made that helpmeet, he made not another man. He made a woe man. And he told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, what two men gonna be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth? Or what two women gonna be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth? Look at the trend of our society. If we follow the trend of society, man will become extinct. So we don't need to get our faith from man's philosophy or from man's trends in society. We need to get our faith from the word of God. That's what the word tells us to do. And without that, we can't please God. You know, we can try everything we want to, but without faith in the word of God, we can't please God. Well, preacher, you're just blowing smoke? No. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6 said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whosoever come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. Now, who are you seeking when you follow some of these other religions? You're not seeking God because God didn't establish them. They didn't get established by the word of God. Neither do they follow after the word of God. There's nowhere in the word of God where women led congregations in the word of God. There's nowhere in the word of God where women were elders and deacons. Not in the word of God, but that's what men's church is all about now. It's satisfying the trends of society. And I don't have, I know women are smart. Some of them, a lot of them smarter than me. Probably most of them. But I didn't make this situation. God set this situation in place. You're not smarter than God. They're not smarter than God, even though they may be smarter than me. But God knew what he was doing. And if we want to obey God, if we want to one day dwell in his house, we've got to have the faith that comes from the word of God. And once you've heard the gospel and obtain your faith, then you must be willing to repent. And that's just simply changing your mindset. I'm not going to be tossed about by every whim or every change of doctrine that comes around. I'm going to stick with the word of God. I'm going to obey God's word and make sure that I'm always following after it day in and day out in my life. I'm going to do what pleases God and not what pleases me or some other man. That's the repentance God wants us to have. And then we must be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, according to Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32 and 33. And last but not least, this is not a trend of the world, but this is the commandments of God. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you do that and do all those steps faithfully, we're not going to vote on you, because there's nowhere in the Bible where anybody voted on anybody to be in my Father's house. But the Bible does say in Acts 2 and 47 that the Lord will add to the church those that need to be saved. See, I don't know whether you need to be saved or not. All I can do is preach to you the gospel of Christ. God know your heart, and God will determine whether you be added to his family or not. If you tell us you believe, we're going to baptize you. But the adding to the church, that's up to God. And if you do obey the gospel and be added to the church, then you have to live faithfully. Pattern your life according to the scripture. And if you do that, an eternal home of God in our Father house, it's already waiting for you. All you have to do is reach out and get it. All you have to do is claim it. It's yours. Wouldn't it be sad if you had $10 million at the bank? Somebody told you it was there. All you had to do was follow the regulation and go down there and get your $10 million. Something more precious than that is waiting for every mankind if they'll just follow God's will and claim their mansion, their robe, and their crown. And even once you get in, you're still human, and it's possible for you to make a mistake. But see, God is such a good God. He made preparation for us that when we do sin. He said in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, he said that if we're just faithful to confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us of them, and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will save you, put you in his house, and if you make a mistake, if you honestly repent of it, he'll save you all over again. What a wonderful God. Ain't it nice? It would be so nice to be in my Father's house. It is nice to be in my Father's house. I know that I have a provider. I know I have a protector. And I know that if I stay faithful, I have eternal life through Christ Jesus. If you're here and you're not a member of the body of Christ, or if you have a sin you would like to repent of, you would have that opportunity to make your desires known as we prepare for our invitation hymn. Let us together stand. If you're in my Father's house, be grateful. Thank God and live faithful each day of your life. If you're not, the invitation is open to you right now to come and be a part of my Father's house.
Intercedes for you. Jesus will meet you there, meet you there.
We give all praise and honor and glory to God. We thank you for your attentiveness. And if you have any questions concerning the message this morning, please feel free to ask your questions. We only promise you that if you ask us about a question, we'll give you an answer that you can read for yourself from the Bible, which we believe is God's word, and it's the only thing that could save us from our sins through obedience thereunto. Thank you and praise God.